Well, I was going to talk, it often happens in Bryn Mawr, I set off thinking I'm going to preach on James, first chapter of James, and I suddenly felt, no, I want to bring something about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to have a bit of fun, because I'm going to look at how humans respond, how humans respond to the Holy Spirit by looking at four mammals and how we can react. So it could be quite interesting. Especially as my notes have only got four mammals' names on it. So that's very, very interesting. But I want to start by looking at the whole concept of the Great Commission and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I find it amazing that when Jesus, who's been with his disciples, training them and equipping them, 120 at the end of this community, and when he stands as he's about to ascend into heaven, he looks at them and says, "All authority is mine. On heaven and on earth." I love that. You know, as a Welshman, I cannot exaggerate it. You know, the more I exaggerate it, the closer to the truth I get. All authority is his. Suddenly, standing before the disciples is not the man that they've seen, the God-man who has been limited by, limiting himself so that he could be who God called him to be at that time. Suddenly, they see the Jesus with all authority. The Jesus who knows all things. No longer is the Jesus standing before them, the one who's laid aside his majesty, who doesn't know everything. You know, I find that amazing, that Jesus is amongst us, the one who created heaven and earth, yet he laid aside his majesty. He laid aside playing the God card so that when he's walking in a crowd and a woman touches him, he doesn't know who it was. I find that amazing. And then the Jesus standing before them as he's about to ascend to heaven is the one who knows all things. The one before them can say, "All authority is mine, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. It's all mine." And then with that authority says, "Therefore, go and make disciples." I love that. The one who's called us to go and make disciples and teach people to obey all that Jesus commanded. The one who's told us to go and baptize people is the one who's got all authority. We go in that authority. But what I also love is that Jesus gives us a commission and he knows, but you can't do it. You can't do this. I've got all authority. I'm telling you to go and do it. I know you can't. So you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And in Acts 1, it says this: until the day when he dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. John the Baptist were baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days now." So when they came together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." I love this. Jesus commissions them, and then they go to the upper room, and they have to wait. And they have 10 days. They're waiting between the ascension of Jesus and Pentecost. And they're waiting to receive power so that they can fulfill the mission Jesus has put them on. They will be witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the world while they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you can do it. We do it in our own strength. No one listens. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, you see amazing things happening. We need to be a people full of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, yet sane. You know, full of the two things working together. And so you have this community who are gathered together, waiting in the upper room for something to happen. I heard a lady the last conference do an amazing talk on the upper room. And she said this: the upper room for the disciples was a place of safety. It was a safe place. Outside the upper room was dangerous. In the upper room was a safe place. The 120, they were safe there. It was also their last encounter, their powerful encounter they'd had with Jesus. He met them in the upper room. They'd had these amazing moments where he stood amongst them and had blown on them, and they'd received the Spirit to a certain degree. There were amazing things that happened. So the upper room was a safe. But when the Spirit fell upon them, they had to get out of the room and go to Jerusalem. They had to come out. If they had come out of the room, none of us would have known about the day of Pentecost. The hilarious thing is this. The Spirit, or when he came in power, also didn't do it quietly. You know, they're hidden in the upper room, and here comes the Spirit. Woo-hoo! Guess where they are? They're here, and I'm here. Bang, you know. And at the same time, he was working on the crowd in Jerusalem. Because these crowds don't just gather because, for some reason I'm here. They gather because they're drawn. The Spirit's already working in the crowds. And so what he's doing in the upper room, he's also doing behind their back, and they don't aware of it until they come out and realize 3,000 people have just been saved and added into the kingdom of God. It was amazing. But she made this amazing point, which is this. The upper room is something we have to keep getting rid of in our Christian walk. Because actually the early church did. They were called, empowered by the Spirit, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. They stayed in Jerusalem. The upper room just got bigger. And then they had to be kicked out of that upper room. Persecution came. They fled to Samaria. And then you have moments where Peter's upper room was the Jewish community. And then suddenly he has to be kicked out of that to go and see Cornelius, Gentiles, and realize God's got a bigger picture. His room's bigger than mine. And so she's made the point is, how often in our thinking do we have to keep getting rid of the upper room thinking, our safe place? How often do we talk about when God last moved? And in Wales, is the Welsh revival sometimes our upper room? We've got the history, we've got the stories. We can look back. But is that upper room thinking? We've got to be thinking, it's time to move on to what God's going to do next. How do we do that? We get filled with the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. My grandpa, I remember a story he always used to tell, which is soon after he became a believer, he was walking back one night from a prayer meeting, and he came to a point on the valley, in the Gower Valley, where he was looking down to Llangaina. And he said, suddenly, he felt the wind of God blow on him, and the valley lit up. And he said he was seeing colours he'd never seen. He saw the, and he stood there. And eventually he had to say, oh, Father, no more. No more. I can't take any more. And this human body can't take. And he had our encounter with God that so changed him and brought him so close to Jesus. You know, a few years ago at a conference, there was a lady called Christy Wim. She was amazing. But she talked about, so often now in the Western church, as more, more. And she said, no, you need to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's about a relationship. It's about saying, fill me afresh, Holy Spirit. You know, the reality is the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, he is a he. He is a person. It's not an it. You know, I want more of it. No, it's him. He wants. By having a relationship with him, he brings you closer to Jesus. He wants to bring glory to Jesus. How does he do that? By producing Christ's character in you. And how does he do that? By producing more of Christ's love for the world in you. How does he do it? You to bring the message to people. That's what he's about. And so he wants you to develop this relationship. The other thing's this. The words used in Scripture about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, immersed in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but when you have a baptism, oh, I do love a good baptism. When you have a baptism, you get the pool out, or you go to a swimming pool, or you go down by the river and check the fishermen aren't too cross, and you go and do what you're doing, and you get in. Or the funniest one I ever did was in Chennai, in the sea there that just had the tsunami, and these huge waves would suddenly come. And so the baptism was, these people would stand, this wave would take them in like a washing machine. It was the most, was like, oh, please let me be alive at the end of this. But it's kind of, you know when someone's been baptized, don't you? Because they're dripping wet. I remember when we were planting a church up in Oldham, we used to take on a local swimming pool for baptisms. And one time we'd done this baptism, I then just said, you know, is anyone else here who'd like to be baptized? And suddenly this South African girl goes, I want to get baptized. And she jumps in the water. She runs over, really excited in the water, swims over, going, I want to be baptized. I want to give my life to Jesus. And she just, it was an amazing moment. Baptize her. She's excited. And then you have that moment. She hasn't got any clothes. She's soaking wet. She hasn't got a towel. We can find a towel. But it's suddenly this moment. There's no doubting that Janine had been baptized. She was dripping water absolutely everywhere. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it should be fair. That's you. The Spirit of God's on you. You've encountered the Spirit. And so, just a few minutes to look at this. So in Acts, you see a transformed community. You see a community who are hidden in the upper room, in their place of safety, suddenly empowered by the Spirit, they're out. And not only that, they're out and they keep being filled and they keep going for it. On top of that, Peter suddenly recognizes the authority Jesus had. One of the fruits of the day of Pentecost was this. Jesus' authority is mine. Peter can now stand in front of the Sanhedrin. And when they say, will you stop doing this? He says, no. Actually, doing it. And stopped them. Kept going out and out and out. Constantly forward. I don't know about you. Being a church like that. I want to be a person like that. A person who steps out of the safety, full of the Spirit. To find ways to show the love of Jesus and use his words. You know, I think there's a day where we've got to remember our lives are better for Jesus in them. I think sometimes we forget that. I think sometimes we think, oh, and I'm a Christian. No, my life is so much better by having Christ as my Lord and Saviour. And there is nobody I know in the world whose life wouldn't be better as well without having Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And if I believe that, then I've got to find a way to take that message out. And the best way I can see here is God's way, which is take hold of the Great Commission saying, do the business. But I think there are four ways that as humans, as Christians, we can respond to the Holy Spirit. And use four animals. You won't forget. One is the cat. Now, I'm a dog person. So, and who here is a real cat person? Just so I know. Okay, I will be gentle. You know, but one thing about cats is they don't like water, as far as I understand. You might have the odd cat that does, but on the whole, the response tends to be, to be honest, that tends to be the response cats have with me. I turn it into a room. You know, I kind of sit there thinking, what is it about me? Have I got, you know, the smell of dog probably. But they're kind of like, that moment. And so what happens when a cat comes near water? Don't want that, don't want that. Don't want to go in that, don't want to go in that. And actually, you can know churches and Christians whose response when the Holy Spirit comes is, whoa, don't want that. Don't want that. No, 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 no. I like everything decent and all. This is really messing up. I like meetings to finish on time. Don't like this. There can be that response. And we can know that with moments when the Spirit moves, that actually so many people go, this can't possibly be God. Someone once said, the best way of knowing what God is how many people God. Because God, it's amazing. The revival, the great revival in 1907, there was a group of ladies praying revival and praying. And then they heard things that were happening in the chapels. So they went down to visit. And they were so horrified that their prayer meeting started this. Oh God, please stop that horrible thing happening in the chapels and please let real revival come. And they missed it. It was right at the end, one of them suddenly realised that was a work of God when her own son had got saved. We've got to be a people who aren't like cats. That's like, don't want it, don't want it, don't want it. But also, we have an ability to help people. We don't just get on with it. She said, no, let me explain it to you. Let me explain what's happening. You know, when Peter goes to Cornelius' house and he's talking and the Spirit of God pours on people, there's obviously a sense that people are quite scared at what's happening. So he has to explain. This is the Holy Spirit. He has to bring explanation. Because you want people to stay as cats. Some people just choose like that. I'm not going to, no. And others who just actually need to have it explained. It's good for you. Yeah, I doubt you can have this sort of conversation with a cat. I doubt you can explain to a cat, it's okay, the water's good for you. You need to, you stink, this will be good. They won't understand that. But actually, sometimes we have to have a go. But that can be one of our responses. You could respond to it like a cat. I like to be in control. I like everything decent in order. I want to be the boss. And when the Holy Spirit turns up, he seems to take over. Don't like that. I'm uncomfortable. Or you could react like a baboon. Now, this could be rude. I could say, you're a baboon. But actually, the baboon, this is how a baboon, according to... Well, as they seem to do is this. The water, they don't particularly like water. So they don't enjoy playing in it. It's not something that they have fun in. They just use it for their own means. So they transport stuff by water. So they will throw stuff in the water and then pick it up the other end. They use water as getting stuff to places. Or they will get themselves places. So they'll just lie in the water and just transport themselves somewhere. They use it for their own means. And actually, the frightening thing's this. How often in the church do we use the Holy Spirit for our own means? So we say to the Holy Spirit... Spirit, we really want you to help us in our evangelism. Could you come and do this? But no, we don't want you over here. we don't want you here. Please, no, not in my life. Whoa. You know, your role is to help me have boldness to tell people about Jesus. I don't want you messing around in my quiet places. Please, no. Whoa, not on the Sunday morning. Come on. We wanted help with the children's work, not changing our worship. Whoa. What are you doing? And actually, the baboon is this. There's a sort of sense, I don't really like the water. I tolerate it, but I use it for my own means. And I know there have been times in church life where we thought, we need the Holy Spirit here. But when the Holy Spirit comes, you suddenly realize, I didn't expect him to be wanting to go over there as well. What are you doing there? Why are you changing the leadership team? Whoa, hold on a minute. Kind of like, just wanted this. And there are so many times. Are you someone who actually kind of hear about the Holy Spirit, but you don't really like the idea of him and what he does? But you also know you do need him to do this, so you use him for this purpose. You want to be in control. Or are you the way humans use water? And how do I mean that? I'm now talking about swimming rather than drinking, which actually, having mentioned that, but this, what do we as humans do? On a hot day, humans go to the beach. And it's something you do. It's an event. We're going to the beach. You know, in the valleys, you'd be, trip to Porthcawl, trip to Barry Island, everyone down on the train, here we go, fun day. You know, it's the day you go down the beach. And what happens? Some people go in the water, have a bit of a swim. First of all, doing that whole process of getting into the water. You know, I'm going in the water. You know, everyone, yeah, you're going in the water, good. I will go in the water. Slow process. And it's cold, it's freezing. And there's always someone, you know, the famous line, it's all right, once you're in, you know, it's that whole process, you know. And it is joking after 20, you know, at the moment, yeah, no, it'll be fine once you're in. That advice you forget when you're going in the water. And then it's that, that horrible moment. Oh! And then you're in the water. And it's like, it's all right, once you're in. And everyone does this. Everyone goes down the beach, have a little swim. There's people on the shore watching. This is fun. Look at them having a swim. Then you come out of the water and everyone goes home. Remember the time we went to the beach? Oh, it was lovely. Maybe on a nice sunny day we'll go again. So often now I think the church in the West acts like this. We go to a conference. We encounter the Holy Spirit. Our expectation is, oh, you go to a conference. Oh, good speaker. Oh, they had anointing. Oh, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, powerful. Oh, yes. Had a little roll around. Oh, it was really, really good. Really good. I come home. And I tell everyone, oh, you know what? God goes to this conference. It's amazing. And then, dare I say, what happens is you become an advert for the conference. You become sold out for the conference. Oh, do you know what? My life-changing encounter was I went to this conference. Oh, it was so good. You've got to come to the conference. You've got to come to the conference. You've got to go to the... And you suddenly realize people have now got more fervency about this blooming conference than they have about Jesus. And actually, as a church leader, you start thinking, I don't want to go to that conference because you're going so mad about it that actually I'd rather you be more... I'm not seeing any evidence. You still... miserable on a Sunday and we just sit there in church. Oh, you should go to the conference. Oh, the conference, so good. Oh, I haven't made any time for the conference. Well, it's good. Let's come and worship God now. Oh, the conference. Oh, the conference. Oh, at the conference I enjoyed God so much. And now I'm a misery. It's like, and actually, it's like the humans at the beach. Oh, I had a lovely time in the water. Oh, you know, we come to the local pool. No, I don't do that. Go to the beach. God, I feel the sand or the stones in some places. You know, we can be. My expectation when I'm going to meet the Spirit, oh, a conference. Go to a conference, have an encounter with the Spirit of God. Do me for a year, that will. And next year, I'll fill the car up with more people so more people can be filled with the Spirit. Do you know what? I sometimes think the Spirit's looking and thinking, what on earth are you doing? What? I want access to your life. And then there's a fourth mammal. And that's the hippo. The hippo. I did say hippo. Let's call you a hippo. The hippo loves the water. The hippo doesn't just love the water. The hippo in the water. The hippo can do things on land. He's swimming around. And it's amazing when you go out. When I went to Kenya, we went out on Lake Victoria. And you suddenly see these hippos. And they just disappear and then reappear. It's like terrifying, to be honest. But they're kind of like, oh, there. The hippo's in the water. They just love the water. The moment they go, they can go in the water and they just live in it. They just do life in the water. They eat in the water. They're just in the water. They come out at night and go back in the water in the morning. They go into the shady bits when the sun comes right up and then they come back out later to enjoy the water. God wants us to be like that with the Holy Spirit. He wants it that our encounters with the Holy Spirit are, no! Or, yeah, I use you for my purposes. Or, I go to conference and have the encounter with Spirit. This, every day, you wake and say, Holy Spirit, here I am. Fill me afresh. Help me today to live for Christ. Holy Spirit, today, fill me again, that I can be a witness for you. Holy Spirit, just get hold of me. Lord, you know the dross. You know the rubbish in my life. Help me overcome that. Fill me afresh. Lord, you know what I can't do, and I know what you can do. So why don't you fill Tell me and do the bit you can do. Just make yourself available daily, every day. Start up. Holy Spirit, fill me afresh so I can be more in love with Jesus today. So I just bring glory to the Father in the way I live. And then come as a church. We're coming. We don't want to come as, oh yeah, we had one-off event. Do you remember back in 92 we had, oh, lovely back there. Oh, we had, can I say, today, Holy Spirit, this is your church. Fill us afresh. That actually we feel more alive and empowered in the Holy Spirit. And when we're going through tough times, which the Bible is pretty obvious that we do, you know, there's time to we say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. You know, be Christ-like in this situation. Help me get through it. Keep lifting my eyes. Keep encouraging me to what is to happen. I just want to end with this story. And it's a story some of you may have heard before. But there was an extraordinary move of the Spirit in 1994-95. And the church we had in Putney, Bob, who led it, and I kind of was the assistant leader then, he went off to Toronto, paid for by the Vineyard Church, for 2 weeks. Well, that was nice. I didn't get an invite. And he came back. He said, oh, amazing. Felt the Spirit of God, extraordinary. And do you know what was amazing? He said this. This Sunday, we're going to pray for everyone to encounter the Spirit. This Sunday, we're going to go for it. We're going to go for encountering the Spirit of God and pushing into the things of the Spirit. I said, oh, that's lovely. What I didn't realize was that day, where there was a man called Tom, who was a Chelsea pensioner, who was had very bad eyesight and 2 replacement hips. And Tom was travelling to Wimbledon to his strict brethren meeting, and he got off the bus stop at the wrong stop. That day, he thought, well, I'm not going to make it to the meeting now. I can't get another bus. I will go to this church that's here. Looks like a traditional Baptist church. I'll go in there. So walks in. He's greeted at the door by someone who says, oh, we've been praying for some old people. Not the best welcome. But he thought, oh, I better go in now. He walks in and he's horrified. Sees a drum kit. Sees all, and he's like, what am I doing in here? What am I doing in here? But he comes and sits himself in the front row, the front seat, puts himself there. And then we have a time, I can hear him tutting and muttering. And then Bob gets up to preach. Bob's telling you, oh, we had this amazing encounter with the Holy Spirit, and the power of God came and saw this, and this is what we're expecting. The river of God is flowing, all from Ezekiel 47. Oh, and the river of God comes in. And all the way through, this man is going, rubbish, heresy, nonsense. And there's quite an atmosphere in the church. And then Bob says, you know, if anyone would like to be prayed for, please come forward. Tom gets up, 2 hips. In his Chelsea pension outfit, comes forward, stands there and goes, this is nonsense. I'm going to prove it to you. You can pray for me. So Bob looks over at me and says, Andrew, do you want to come and join me? I thought, no, mate, you went to Toronto. No, I didn't get an invite. So I come over. And just lay hands on this man. I have never gone from such an experience in my life. One was terrified, what if nothing happens, to then suddenly being terrified as this old man went flying backwards on the floor, rolling around with 2 replacement hips, shouting, it's real! It's real! Lord, forgive me! Woohoo! He was gone. At that point then, everyone came forward. Well, in that case, God, if he could be there. And we have this extraordinary moment. What was amazing with Tom? Spirit kept moving in him. He went back to the Chelsea pension home. We get a, what's happened to him? Has he been out drinking? He's full of life. He's joyful. He's emotional. And Tom's life had been that he'd been in the army and he'd lost his wife. He was 76. He didn't want to go on. He'd had injuries from the war and he was fed up. So he went to the Chelsea pension home because he thought he'd get some free sports tickets. And he went there to die. And then he met the Holy Spirit, who made him fall more in love with Jesus. And then we suddenly realised he wasn't sitting in the front row anymore. He was sitting back a bit. And I said, are you all right? He says, yeah, my eyesight's coming back. My strength's coming back. And he turned up to everything. Turned up to the youth group. Walked in. I said, what are you doing here, Tom? He said, God's told me I'll tell you when you're old. Oh, you can't argue with that, can you? So we turned up to the women's group. Well, I was more worried. And then he just kept being filled with the Spirit. And he used to go around with his walking stick saying, receive the Spirit of God, receive the Spirit of God. And the joke was, people would be falling away. It was just amazing. One day he came in. He said, I'd quite like to go and smuggle Bibles into China for 2 weeks. Is that okay? Sorry? He said, well, a friend of mine's invited me to go to Hong Kong and smuggle Bibles into China. I said, well, yeah, if you feel that's okay. Of course it's okay. So he goes off, comes back, says, oh, that was great. Lovely time. Loved it. And then my phone rings. Jackie Pullinger. Hi, is that Andrew Davis? Yes, yeah, this is Jackie Pullinger. Oh, hello. Hello. She's very posh. And so there's this voice. I'm chatting away to her. She goes, would you send Tom back to us? He was such a blessing. He was just phenomenal. So I said, yeah, we'll chat to him. Next phone call, Dennis Balcombe, who oversaw the smuggling bomb. Hi, is that Andrew Davis? Yes. Would you send Tom back to us? Because he was such an amazing blessing. So me and Bob go to see Tom. Go see him. I said, Tom, would you like to move to Hong Kong? He said, well, it's taking you your time. I said, what? He said, well, God told me that the first Sunday I came to your meeting. He said, I'm going to send you back to where you fought the war. I'm going to send you back, and this time you're taking Bibles and taking the good news. So he moved. Left the Chelsea pension home. They were very confused because no one leaves that. Way out. Next thing we hear, he's moved from Hong Kong right into the middle of China and he's going to university to learn whatever. Yes, Cantonese. Went to learn Cantonese. And his flat was the hub between the Western church and the underground church for years. That's where, and it was just amazing. And then 10 years later, he went to glory. At his funeral, two things were remarkable. One is he'd written a letter. And in the letter, it just said, I came to the Chelsea pension home to die. What I didn't realise was it was a place that God was going to meet me and give me the best years of my life. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, kept being filled, and I've had the best adventure ever. Then his son got up, and his son said, the day my mother died, I cried and cried. And I said to my wife, I won't cry the day my dad dies. Because I've got no emotion towards him. I've got no relationship. He's such a hard man. He says, but whatever happened when he moved to London, he said, I got my dad. I got an emotional, wonderful man who loved me, loved my children. He says, and I've wept more since my dad's died than I did when my mum died. When the Spirit of God comes, and if we're like hippos, and allow him to do whatever he wants to do, our lives could be radically changed. Not only that, the lives of everyone around us could be radically changed. So sometimes, we've got to get over ourselves. You've got to say, when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I gave the reins of my life over to him. I gave him control. It's amazing how often we want to take it back when he tries to move. Let's just say, Holy Spirit, come. Change us, transform us, so we can fulfill all you've called us to do. Can we stand, please?